Yo, hey,
I'm wearing the headphones, bro. I don't know about you, but these sound great.
All right, man.
Right,
so. I got to make sure I talk into the mic.
Oh, yeah. Very true.
You can hear me, but it doesn't sound like this. Well,
it might clip from here. It might clip a little bit.
You think it'll clip?
I can't see.
It doesn't look like it's.
I kind of feel like Joe Rogan. I ain't going to lie.
Hey,
with the headphones on, Jamie, can you check? We ain't got no fucking Jamie. We got Siri. Nigga, that's it. All right, yeah, man.
Bro,
so
we did use Siri to set all this shit up, though.
We definitely did. We definitely did.
We needed it.
So we got that camera there. We got that camera. Perfect. So our focal point, I guess, are the people that are here.
Yeah. I mean, the focal point is us.
This nigga's gonna sit back again away from the mic so we can't hear him.
Oh yeah, my bad.
There you go. Hit that Barry White.
Dope. So what's up, man? Thanks for hanging out with your boy.
Yeah, always. I'm glad we finally got to do this shit, bro. I mean, we've been talking about it for a minute, so you know, it's time that I stuck to, you know, my fucking schedule and made it happen, bro. So it's great that you found this spot. It's great that you figured out how to hook up the cameras. And it's great I just had to show up. So that's the best fucking part, bro. Make it easy for me. You know, I ain't got to do too much work.
Hey, I do what I can. So, yo, daily deposits. What does daily deposits mean to you? And how did all this even get started, man?
So daily deposits, bro, I believe this was your idea. Now what it means to me, I'll start with that. It's just trying to grow a little bit every day, like not necessarily trying to make a super leap, but making these little steps. Like you're not trying to hit the lotto. You're just putting coins in a piggy bank day by day until it builds and it changes. Right. Like it's not it's not nothing where it's just like, oh, let me just make sure this shit happens right now. But it's what you're working on every single day to get better. How do you feel about daily deposits, or what's your view when you think about it?
Man, I couldn't have said it any better, to be honest. I've been at this for 5-6 years of just consistently just trying to get better daily. And it wasn't until maybe about last year, 2 years, where I was like, how did I get here? You know, and there wasn't a clear answer of like, because normally I kind of think of things like, oh, I did this, so this happened. So how this whole thing started, where I went vegan, right?
Yeah, and then I lost
a bunch of weight, and so everything I've like leading up to this, I thought that it was just like a big, like you do something and then like something big will happen. And then all of a sudden all that shit just stopped. Like it, no. And I was like, wait, hold on. I don't feel like I'm getting any better, or I don't, like something happened to where I just kind of paused.
Yeah.
And so I just started looking back, started journaling more, started writing more. And, through looking at all of my notes and looking at like the journey, I just started to see that it was like a bunch of things that like led up to
that got you there.
Yeah. And so
crazy shit, bro, to cut you off, the vegan thing. When you first threw that at me, bro, I can vividly remember where we were at. We were on Pico and we were going down the street. And you said, hey, go right here to this taco truck, and you got a fucking burrito with no meat, bro. I thought you was the illest nigga alive, bro. I was like, what the fuck? This nigga just bought, like, you had me stop at the taco truck, bro, for a burrito with
Leo's.
No meat.
It was Leo's.
Yeah, bro. I'll never forget that. I knew, but that's when I knew, like, you were serious, because we would talk about shit, and it was like, yo, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. And, you know, at that time, it was like, all right, life was fun. You know, we were younger.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, you had to make a decision and you cut all that shit off. And, you know, that's what that daily deposits thing is. It builds up slowly and slowly, even with your weight loss journey, bro. I mean, I watched that, you know, from bird's eye view right there. Yeah, bro, step by step. I mean, you beat me in the 50-yard race too during COVID at the college that we snuck into, and the guy kicked us out. I didn't even get my rematch, bro. That's how you do it, huh? Oh, bro, I love your meaning. I didn't mean to cut you off or take from that.
No, that's perfect.
To anybody watching this, I might talk a little bit more than David does. It happens. It's all good.
Nah, that's why we're here.
I don't know what the fuck to do with my hands, bro. I'm gonna be honest. I keep crossing them.
You know,
Let me get comfortable, bro. Let me kick back.
Yeah, bring it back.
Jeez, bro. Yeah, bring the mic back. Let us feel good. There we go.
Hold up.
So, yeah, man, back to daily deposits, bro. I think you kind of pioneered a lot, bro. And I definitely want to give you your flowers while we're doing this because I'd say you started a path that many took after you. Hmm. And in the beginning, it was kind of like, not really where is this going, but when does it stop? I remember when you first stopped drinking, and then it was kind of like, yo, all right, David, you know, when you gonna start drinking again? Like, you know, like, hey, buddy, okay, you got, you know, X amount of months. When you gonna get going again? And then when it was like, you know, I don't plan on doing it, that's when it was like, oh, okay, shit, this is adding up. So big ups to you on that, bro, and keeping the daily deposits alive.
Yeah, thanks, man, thanks. I learned more about myself through this journey of quitting things. I just didn't see a reason to go back to drinking. Because everything that I could think of, not to say that it was negative, but it just wasn't fulfilling me in a way that, like...
what you were looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so...
emptiness.
Yeah. I mean, we've had, you know, plenty of nights discussing this.
Oh, shit. Yeah, bro. Yeah, you're right.
Only to end up, you know, talking about the same thing, like, next week.
Yeah.
The following week. So... I got tired of the loop. I got tired of the same results of, like, saying I want to get better but still doing negative at the same time. Like, it doesn't work like that. I mean, if we're talking about daily deposits, if you're depositing but you're also spending, like, I mean, you're going to end up
Yep, exactly.
So, you know, I just try to deposit more than I take away. I'm not saying I'm this perfect fucking angel. But I will say that I try to add in more positive than the negatives that I do have. And, you know, every day is a new day of just trying to get better. You know, it doesn't always happen like that. I'm not always feeling the greatest. Today, I'm feeling fucking great, to be honest.
Yeah, no, that's like, good, because I'm on the other side of the fence today. But I'm fucking here, bro.
So I want to know a little bit more about your story of how... you're choosing to take back control of your life. I've seen some of the changes that you've been making.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to hear more about, like, your journey of trying to do better.
Man, dude.
Why?
same reason, bro. You get stuck in a loop, right? You keep getting the same results. You know, you get kicked out of enough places, or, you know, make an ass of yourself enough times where you're like, yo, I got to go. Honestly, bro, it was like just one day everything kind of hit me. And then there was, let me back this up a little bit. One day everything kind of hit me. And then there was one day where, like, every time I just, like, fucked up or got kicked out of somewhere, like, just kind of played in my head over and over, bro. And I remember, you know, going back, the time we were at Medusa Lounge and, bro, it's these situations that made me stop, honestly, because I didn't give a fuck how, like, I look to other people. But when I'm wearing your face, if I go somewhere with you and I'm wearing your face and I get drunk and I get kicked out and I fall asleep on the curb and someone takes my car keys and you got to drive me home. Now that makes no fucking sense, bro. It's like, at what point does that stop? You know, I had enough of those situations. Plus, just being a father, bro, was a big part, too. Like, I think I always wanted to kind of kick the shit, because I would always tell people, like, I want to stop, I want to give it up. But for some reason, I'll fall back into that same, you know, that same thing. You know, be like, oh, I feel great, I'm not hungover no more, and get going again. But, bro, it's like, honestly, just watching your journey, a couple other people that decided to, you know, just kind of cut it, specifically Antoine, too. Once I saw that shit, bro, I was like, you know, once y'all two went, bro, I'm on the other side. You know, I got nothing to lose. Like, you know, I already was tempted because of what you were doing. And not only just, like, you, like, yeah, the discipline's great, right? The discipline's great. But seeing the results of the discipline, body structure changes, you know, just being able to do different physical activities, that it's like, oh, shit, like, if I try that, I cannot do that. I'm about to tear some shit. So I think that was important. And then I really felt it, bro, on Antoine's, on his skate day, on his third year sober. That was like, seeing how happy people was that he made it there. I was 1 week at that time. And seeing how happy people was that he made it there, bro, that was like, that was fucking magic. That was the best thing I could experience amongst having friends like you that would be like, yo, bro, like, you know where this takes you. You don't know where this takes you because you haven't done this yet. Like, that's important. That's crazy, man. I do want to ask you, too, while we're on the topic, you know, barbering, bro. I want to hear your story, man. I mean, I know it. I want to make sure that everybody else knows it because what I hear a lot is celebrity barbers or Instagram barbers are charging too much. Like, you see the comments, bro. It's like, why would they charge this? Like, well, you didn't know. Like, you have no idea what it took them to get where they're at. Right. And, you know, fortunate. I think I'm very fortunate to have friends like you that have I've been able to see create the groundwork, bro, and really go places with their dream and their passion. So, you know, tell them a little bit about your story and where it starts.
This is year 15, maybe 2025 will be year 16. I moved back to Los Angeles. I wanted to be a celebrity. No, I wanted to be a barber on set. I wanted to be a barber in the movies because that was the height of like a career for a barber at that time. Because the highest level that I had seen leaving beauty college or beauty school was just working at a dope shop or working at owning a shop or owning a school or owning.
Yeah, that was kind of the traditional route back then was own the barber shop. We didn't have the Instagram flair to it yet.
No Instagram.
There were those shows. That was probably like the best thing, like winning an award at like the barber shows and shit like that at the time.
Yeah, so hair shows, barber battles. Barber battles came a little later because they were able to promote those better with social media.
Mm-hmm.
So during the time when I started, I don't even think I had a cell. I had a cell phone at the time, but there were no making appointments. It was strictly go to the shop.
The walk-in culture.
I mean, like, straight cutthroat to where it's like...
No, not that guy. He's new.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Fuck. I'll take it even a step further, right? You cut somebody, you leave the chair, you're walking out the door, and a barber's telling you, yo, come see me next time. He fucks you up.
Like, ooh.
Like, daily. It was like a straight Shark Tank.
Yeah,
like, my first shop was... Actually, second shop, 12 barbers. Dude upstairs sold shoes. I don't even know if they're real or not. And
nah, probably not at that time. You can pull a woolly over niggas' head at that time, bro. I might have sold a couple fake shoes back then, bro. Fuck, everybody was doing it then. Can't be mad at him trying to make a buck.
Nah, I mean, I wasn't mad at it. But he, like, swore he was, like, the dopest barber ever. But he was, like, selling. I don't know. I was new.
Just trying to get your feet wet. That's it.
I got hustled so many times in the barbershop.
Was there chair rent back then too? Same kind of
$100 a week.
Mm.
Charging $12, $13 at the time, and
fuck.
Yeah, it taught me how to hustle. It taught me how to just get out and like make it, or not even make it, but just like if you don't cut, you don't eat. If you don't go out and ask somebody, like. I literally walked down the street asking random people, "Hey, you got a barber?
That hard work, bro. That's the shit. Like what I got to see when you first came back was, that hunger. I mean, you still got it. You haven't lost it. I mean, obviously, look at where you're at now. But what I got to see was like the fucking floor level, bro. Like the fucking floor level where it was like, yo, let me. Fucking fix your fuck up. Well, my fuck up. Let me fix your fuck up in the back of your granny's back room. And I'm just trying to get some practice in. Like, he was really getting shots up in the gym, bro. And I think, that turned into, a shop. Like, just looking for a shop at that time was, like, crazy. Because, like, for most people, you go out. Well, at that time, now it's a different ballgame. But at that time, it was like, you go out, you go get a job. I would say... Cutting hair and getting in the shop was fucking tough back then. I don't know how hard it is now, but seeing what you were going through, walking to different shops, like if you wanted the upward mobility, like you could stay at this little mom and pop joint as long as you want and, keep nickel and diamond, or you can go after, what you really want to go after and be around the people that can cut the way you want to cut and learn from.
Right. Yeah, I mean, shout out to Instagram, man. Instagram has made us, it's nice to be a barber now. When I told my parents I wanted to go be a barber, they're like, my mom was like, she was cool with it. But some of my family members were like, you're going to go cut hair? Like, I'm in mm-hmm. school playing football, like, you know, got big dreams of being a physical therapist or athletic trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I leave that to go cut hair. And they're like, you know, like, it's
I ain't gonna lie, that was a crazy switch, bro. I literally had a question for you too. It's literally on my phone, bro. My question was going to be, and I want to piggyback on what you're saying.
Yeah.
My question is, when did you know? Let me read it exactly. It was wrong one. Here we go. When did you know sports wasn't your forever thing?
Man, that year that I chose hair.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, it didn't hit. It hit maybe a year into that because I still tried to play. I played arena. I played semi-pro. I tried mm-hmm. I tried to keep going with it. My goal choosing hair was to find something that I could bring back and still go to school. Being at junior college, you can't fucking find a job, play football, and do...
Nah, that shit's impossible, bro.
18, 19 units.
Yeah, that shit's impossible.
Trying to be, you know, and then no help for school, no funding. Like, I wasn't getting money from, you know, I had a place to stay.
You should have hit the jug. Boy, I had all the books, and everything, the FAFSA, boy.
Yeah, no, like, I was staying with my grandma at the time.
Yeah.
And so...
Was this at COD or was this?
Shit, both.
Yeah.
COD to LA Harbor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot.
And it was tough. And so I'm not the most disciplined person, or back then I wasn't the most disciplined person as far as academically, or is that even a word, academically? Academics. Yep.
I feel like academically was a word.
Yeah. Well,
could be.
We'll run with it. Yeah. I felt like I wanted to do some kind of art. And so, but my real motivation was to take hair, come back, have something that I could do at any point in time.
Mm-hmm.
I can cut the homies after practice. My goal was to come back and play football. When I enrolled in school, I loved it. Like, because my interpretation of going to go cut hair was the same thing that everybody else had. Go get some clippers and cut, do some fades.
Mm-hmm.
That was my first interpretation of hair. But then when I got in beauty school, shout out to my aunt. She took care of me for like 2 years of like,
was that up in Colorado?
Colorado.
I remember that. Remember that.
So I took off to Colorado, cutting up Beauty Academy. And I didn't even get a pair of clippers until like 2 months in. They're like, yo, here, take these books and take these scissors. And I'm like, scissors? Or shears, as we call them. Take these shears and go play with this doll. And I'm like...
That's some voodoo type shit, bro. Are you sure you went in New Orleans, bro? The fucking bayou? That's some straight, like, what the fuck, bro? Take these scissors and this doll and fucking go cut her up.
Take this doll, go learn how to do a 90 degree angle cut, go learn how to do a bob. And I'm like, all right, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And through that, it just opened up my eyes to a new, like, possibility of, like, oh, this is something else. And, you know, I think I did 10 months of school, learned more of like the stylist side of things of, you know, we were doing dreads, we did twists, we did long hair, short hair. I wasn't just a barber. I became a barber stylist. And so I have more appreciation for the art of hair. I was like, well, I got to run with this. I want to go be in Hollywood. So that was my dream of coming back to California. First, it was to come back, play football, and then it changed. And then I wanted to go be in Hollywood with the stars.
No, that makes sense, bro. I mean, you've definitely made the most of that. And I would say barbering's a little bit different than the T-shirt business, right? I've been making fucking T-shirts since 2011, 2010, bro. I started that shit in Kansas. The difference about that is, when you're on your own, it's kind of harder, bro. It's kind of harder. I don't think that's fucking right. Grammatics or whatever the fuck, but, it's more difficult, bro. And, that's why I loved the journey. You know what I mean? Like, watching your journey was like some shit. Like, with T-shirts, it's like, all right, bro, if you don't have a big fucking house to fulfill 5,000 orders in a day, then you can kiss it goodbye, because somebody will take 50 cents a shirt. Mm. When you're trying to, you know, do $7 a shirt, that shit ain't going to match up. But that's why I always admired, bro, the journey with the barbering, plus the health. I got another question, bro.
Yeah.
I got another fucking question. Let's go. And another thing, motherfucker. My grandma used to say that right before she cussed your ass out some more. I want to ask this, bro. Since we're on the topic of, you know, kind of learning life and you know, kind of going off on your own against other people's, I guess, their perception. You know, everybody perceived you to be a football player and a student. You saw yourself as a barber. During that time, bro, how important was a hug, or how important is a good hug at this moment in life? Mm. We don't get too many of those as a man.
I think that's why I appreciate jiu-jitsu, because it's given me another form of a brotherhood.
Yeah.
The shops aren't what they used to be as far as having a brotherhood to, because we see these people every day, right?
Yeah.
So, but I'm not in a shop currently. I do have a couple people that I work with Ray and Ross.
Mm-hmm.
But with jiu-jitsu, I see them daily. And
you're also challenging each other to the fucking maximum, bro.
We see these people grow every single day.
Yeah, you're literally trying to fucking twist somebody's arm, snap their neck, and then shake their hand after you just broke their arm. Yeah. Like that's a big, that takes a lot to be like, oh, okay, bro. Hey, you really fucked me up on that one. It takes a lot, bro. And that's why I asked that about the hug, is because I feel like most people on their journey, there's never that hug, that embracing, right? It's always, why are you doing this? Mm. Well, that ain't gonna work. And then once you make it, it's like, oh, nigga, I needed that hug way back when I was fucking struggling. But I wanted to tie that in a little bit with, you know, just the barber struggle and the dream, bro, because that shit's not easy.
Yeah,
I had the dream for t-shirts. I no longer have that fucking dream. I still have the passion. But it's like, at some point, you know when to say when, and you just make shit because you like it. And you don't think like, oh, man, I'm going to try to get a retail store or some hype behind this. Fuck that, bro. Just let it ride. You ever had that moment in barbering, bro? Like, is there ever a point where you're like, okay, I made it far enough, or I got enough clients and I'm chilling. I can move at this pace for the rest of my life.
Have I reached that point?
Yeah. Have you ever had that moment? Like, even because, you know, life comes in waves, bro. I mean, it's literally a current, bro. And sometimes you ride it, it goes up. Sometimes you ride it, it goes down. Have you ever had that point where it's like, okay, I feel like, okay, what I got, and then maybe something happens to spark something new?
No. There's too much uncertainty with hair, and, you know, COVID kind of exposed that as well, of how, you know, people just start letting their hair grow, right? I mean, yes, I'll always be needed, but...
yeah, you're right. I did my own twist. COVID was a fucked up time, bro.
Yeah. So I think the most... because. Are you kind of talking about being complacent or being being
a little bit of both, bro? Okay. All right, I'll give you an example. For me, there's certain places where I get and I'm like, I'm kind of on autopilot. Like I'm kind of on cruise control, bro. Like I can chill here. For example, with my day-to-day job in the finance industry, right? It's like I'm on autopilot, bro. Like I'm like cool. I'm cool. I can stay at this. And I can just do this and I'm making a decent wage where I'm okay. Mm. But it's also like, I want more, but I'm also cool here until something takes off, until they give me the next thing, you know? And I just wonder, I guess you hit the nail on the head. You probably already answered my question with the uncertainty. Yeah. That's the difference. There's no safety net in what you're doing.
We don't get benefits. We don't get 401k. We don't. Like, all that stuff I have to do on my own. So there is no room for me to be like, yeah, I'm chilling.
You know?
You know, I have clients that, you know, pay a premium. I have, you know, I've seen a lot of money and I've seen a lot of money go. I've seen the most amount of money I've seen in a month. And then I've also seen almost nothing.
Yeah.
Right. And so because I see that, I have no room to settle.
Yeah,
no room to be okay like where I am, I guess. And so I'm always pushing to the next.
Yeah, I see it, bro. I see it with my own eyes. I see it, you know, and it's a weird time that we're in. Like, people see it and they just like kind of double tap that shit and they keep moving. Nobody actually voices that they see it no more. Like, that shit is, I'm not talking about the niggas that are like, yo, I see the vision, fam. Like, not those guys, but the ones that actually like appreciate what you're doing, bro. Mm.